Section 2, Industry and Progress. As you read, look for the early development of the oil industry, the early efforts at road building, and vocabulary term, head right. Previous discoveries of such minerals as coal, zinc, lead, gypsum, and salt had somewhat reshaped what became Oklahoma. The discovery of large fields of petroleum made even more dramatic changes to the land and its people. It's hard to imagine our state without paved roads, but that was the case in the early 1900s. The development of the internal combustion engine and automobiles, Oklahoma oil fields, and our network of roads went hand in hand. The oil discoveries would also play a part in the war to end all wars. Black gold. Indians and early explorers knew oil sometimes appeared in springs and creeks in Indian territory. In the 1800s, some people believed oil had medicinal value. It was also used as a lubricant and as a fuel for lamps and lanterns. The development of the internal combustion engine used by industries and automobiles in the late 1800s and early 1900s created a larger demand for petroleum products. As early as the 1880s, wildcat drillers sank wells near Atoka and along the Illinois River. Edward Byrd is credited with drilling the first well in what became Oklahoma near Chelsea in 1890. The first commercial oil discovery was the Nellie Johnston No. 1 well in Bartlesville, which hit oil on April 15, 1897. Both wells had to be capped because without storage tanks, pipelines, or a railroad, the local market could not use all of the oil. The railroad came to Bartlesville in 1899, and the Nellie Johnston well opened again and eventually produced over 100,000 barrels of oil. In the 10 years after the discovery of oil, Bartlesville's population grew from 200 to over 4,000. Wildcatters and investors flooded into Tulsa when oil was discovered in 1901 at Red Fork, a small community southwest of Tulsa. The Red Fork field was a commercial success. Tulsa began to take shape as neighborhoods were built slightly away from the oil field on the north side of the Arkansas River. A bridge was built across the river in 1904 to provide easier access between the two communities. Tulsa soon became known as the oil capital of the world. Just as people had rushed to the state for land, now people rushed to the state for oil riches. Wildcatters were needed to search for the oil, and men were needed to lease land and make deals. Jobs for rig builders, pipe fitters, drillers, and roustabouts, laborers, grew, as did the industry. People were needed to build storage tanks and pipelines and to supply tools and equipment. The oil-filled workers needed to buy food, clothes, and homes for their families. Hotels, cafes, saloons, dance halls, and pool halls instantly appeared. More people meant more schools and churches were needed, and the city of Tulsa continued to grow. The first major oil field, the Glen Pool, was discovered in 1905 south of Tulsa. Robert Galbraith and Frank Chesley were drilling the Ida E. Glen No. 1, named for the Creek woman who owned the land. Out of money but not hope, the partners were drilling through sandstone 1,400 feet below the surface when the well started making a gurgling noise and oil started spewing from the pipe casing. The light, sweet, containing less sulfur than found in sour oil and thus requiring less refining, oil was excellent for gasoline and kerosene. Families from the oil fields in Illinois and Pennsylvania rushed into the booming area. Harry Sinclair, Thomas Gilcrease, William Skelly, and Harry Chapman were only a few who made their fortunes in Oklahoma. By the 1980s, the Glen Pool field had produced over 325 million barrels of oil. Some Muscogee Creek Indians received large royalties from their allotments. It's been said that more money was made on the Glen Pool field than in the California Gold Rush and Colorado Silver Rush combined. Tom Slick, the king of the Wildcatters, and his partner, C.B. Schaffer, drilled the discovery well for the huge Cushing Drumright field in 1912. Word of a new oil discovery gushed as fast as the oil itself. Drumright sprang up overnight. The field was 12 miles east of Cushing, but the media called it the Cushing Field. Other small towns such as Shamrock, Tigertown, and Oilton popped up nearby. In the new oil town, workers used tents for shelter. The Blue Goose Cafe cleared its tables at night and rented them to people to sleep on. Syrian, Lebanese, and Jewish peddlers walked through the oil fields with cases of thread, fabrics, and clothing until they could afford tents in which to set up their businesses. The Cushing Field was the nation's largest oil source for 8 years. At its peak in May 1915, the field produced 300,000 barrels daily. An oil glut from the Cushing Field and others caused prices to tumble from over $1 a barrel to 30 cents a barrel. Practices of the day called for natural gas to be piped into the air or burned as waste. Oil leaked from storage pits into the soil and groundwater. It was a recipe for disaster. A major fire in the Cushing Field in 1914 brought attention to the need for conservation laws and regulation of natural gas lines. Cushing, known as the pipeline crossroads of the world, lives up to its title today, with a maze of pipelines from all parts of the country crisscrossing the area. The Cushing Hub has become the world's largest storage tank capacity for petroleum. The discovery of the Helton oil field in 1913 by Wirt Franklin established southern Oklahoma as a major petroleum-producing area and gave life to more boom towns such as Ragtown and Wirt. The shallow wells and low cost of drilling were ideal for smaller operators, and the area became known as a poor man's field. Investors who joined Franklin included Lloyd Noble, Robert Hefner, and former Governor Haskell. Earl Halliburton established an oil well cementing company and became a leader in oil field technology. The first drilling equipment at Helton had to be hauled in by wagon from Ardmore or Waurika, the nearest railroad lines, until the railroad town of New Wilson was established just south of the field in 1914. New Wilson, population 800, served as drayage, low carts that carry heavy loads, headquarters for the oil field, and 500 teams of horses, mules, and oxen were quartered nearby. Helton became Oklahoma's first state-regulated oil field. Producers concerned about low petroleum purchases appealed to the state, and the Corporation Commission stepped in to order the pipeline company to purchase oil equally from the Helton producers. The effort was a forerunner of conservation laws in many oil-producing states that prevents the waste of petroleum. The first well was drilled in the Osage Nation in 1897, but the discovery of a field near Avant in the early 1900s brought the Wildcatters to the area. When the Osage lands were allotted in 1906, one of the stipulations provided one head right for each of the original allottees for the mineral rights. A head right is an interest for each tribal member in the funds collected from mineral leases, sale of lands, etc. A tree in Pawhuska that provided shade for the auctions of Osage oil leases was given the name Million Dollar Elm by the media. Several Osage leases were auctioned for $1 million or more. Other fields of oil in Oklahoma were developed during the early 1900s, as they continue to be today. New technology has allowed pockets of oil and natural gas to be found deep below the surface. Oil helped provide an early economic base that spurred development in other areas. A network of travel that was more flexible than the railroad was needed. Building roads. Automobiles were coming into use about the same time as many of Oklahoma's oil fields were being developed. Railroads had altered the landscape and shaped the United States to some extent, but the automobile would prove to be an even stronger force of change. The roads or trails were mostly traveled by horse and wagon, and they were crude at best. Bridges across waterways were usually little more than mats of grass and brush. Tolls were charged for the few wooden bridges on Indian lands. Floods in 1902 swept away many of the crossings. Recognizing the growing importance of the automobile, Sidney Suggs and others formed the Good Roads Association in the early 1900s. The first paved highway in the state was a few miles of gravel roadway in Watonga, built in 1909. In 1910, Oklahoma had 23 miles of hard-surfaced roadway. Suggs, at the helm of the new State Highway Commission, presented a plan in 1913 for six main roadways across the state. Most of the proposed roads ran roughly north and south. Newkirk to Marietta, Medford to Eureka, Bartlesville to Atoka, Miami to Durant, Beaver to Grandfield. The east-west road would extend from Muskogee to Weatherford and to the state lines. The railroads were eventually named the Albert Pike Highway, Meridian Highway, Postal Highway, TKO Road, Lee and Bankhead Highway, and Jefferson Road. Some of the roads paralleled the older trails, such as the Texas Road, California Road, and Chisholm Trail. Counties and towns were largely responsible for the first roads, and they could impose taxes for them. With much area to cover, the process of building roads and bridges was slow. By the mid-1920s, 3,000 miles of official state roads were dirt or improved dirt. 975 miles were gravel, and less than 640 miles were concrete or asphalt on concrete. Natural materials, including stone, were sometimes used to build bridges, and clay bricks were used for streets and sidewalks. One active road organization named several roadways in Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico, the Ozark Trail. Cyrus Avery, director of the Tulsa Commercial Club and Tulsa Automobile Club, and owner of a Tulsa Inn and service station, helped form the Ozark Trails Association and the Albert Pike Association. The first Federal Aid Road Act was passed in 1916. Of the $75 million appropriated, Oklahoma was to receive almost $700,000 between 1917 and 1919. But America's entrance into World War I in 1917 brought most of the projects to a standstill. In spite of the shortage of building materials and manpower, a few projects were continued, including some stone and concrete bridge spans. Convict laborers helped build the Jefferson Highway in eastern Oklahoma. Roads for automobile travel across the country were sporadic and unlinked. Groups of people representing automobiles and parts manufacturers, road and bridge builders, and road material providers envisioned a system of roads that would link the nation. The groups wanted national roads that would connect states, to use existing roadways when possible, and to have federal coordination of the roads. Oklahoma's central location in the United States would prove to be valuable in the interstate roadway system, and Cyrus Avery would become a power in the National Highway Plan. It's your turn. Number one, what was the first major oil field in Oklahoma? Number two, what caused oil prices to drop in 1915? Number three, why were roads troublesome in Oklahoma?